may not be the one that I watched last night and said, oh, that would be perfect. It'll be perfect because it's shots of awe. Please.
About the contrast between banality and wonder, between disengagement and...
And all the lights out, please.
...ecstasy, between being unaffected by the here and now, being absolutely ravished emotionally by it. And I think one of the problems for human beings is mental habits. Once we create a comfort zone, we rarely step outside of that comfort zone. But the consequence of that is a phenomenon known as hedonic adaptation. Overstimulation to the same kind of thing, the same stimuli again and again and again, renders said stimuli invisible. Your brain has already mapped it in its own head, and you no longer literally have to be engaged by that. We have eyes yet see not, ears that hear not, and hearts that neither feel nor understand. There's a great book called The Wondering Brain that says that one of the ways that we elicit wonder is by scrambling the self temporarily so that the world can seep in. You know, Henry Miller says even a blade of grass, when given proper attention, becomes an infinitely magnificent world in itself, you know? Darwin said attention, if sudden and close, graduates into surprise, and this into astonishment, and this into stupefied amazement. That's what rapture is. That's what illumination is. That's what that sort of infinite comprehending awe that human beings love so much. And so how do we do that? How do we mess with our perceptual apparatus in order to have the kind of emotional and aesthetic experience from life that we render most meaningful? Because we all know those moments are there. Those are the moments that would make Final Cut. Only in these moments we experience afresh the hardly bearable ecstasy of direct energy exploding on our nerve endings. This is the rhapsodic, ecstatic, bursting forth of awe that expands our perceptual parameters beyond all previous limits. And we literally have to reconfigure our mental models of the world in order to assimilate the beauty of that download. That is what it means to be inspired. The Greek root of the term means to breathe in, to take it in. We fit the universe through our brains and it comes out in the form of nothing less than poetry. We have a responsibility to awe.
Indeed, we do have a responsibility to awe, especially when you understand, I would like lights now though, thank you so much, especially when you understand that awe is the natural byproduct of the experience of the divine. When we touch that seamless hem of the Blessed One and feel its presence, we must be in awe. In fact, Albert Einstein said, if you are not in awe, you're not paying attention. If you are not in awe, you are not paying attention. And here, where there is so much beauty, do we just get so jaded we don't see it anymore? We don't stop and look at the colors of the flowers and the trees and the shrubs and the sky and on days like this, the clouds and the sun peeping through the clouds, everything, expression of the divine. Absolute amazing beauty. Well, what is alchemy anyway? Most of you know, but I'll just tell you anyway for those of you who don't. Alchemy is, it was that which early scientists practiced, tried to create using some sort of chemical something to change base metals into something precious like gold or silver. To change something that didn't have much worth or value into something very valuable, gold. And so you see why it's absolutely perfect, the perfect word for us, alchemy of awe, because when we are in awe, when we're paying attention to the divine, our lives change. Our lives change for the better. Because we can't help but being in gratitude, in joy, in wonder. how do these things happen? How do these things happen? And sometimes we think they happen to us, but they don't. They happen through us. There's something in us that said yes to this wonderful experience that we're experiencing. I was, last week, I spent Monday through Friday in a lodge called the Cedarbrook Lodge, which was an exquisite, outside of Seattle, exquisite lodge, absolutely 5-star, 6-star, 7-star, whatever the ultimate is of stars. It was one of those lodges that have a pillow menu. So if you didn't like the pillows that you have, you can choose others. You know, it's just a very, very nurturing. And it was only ministers. And for most of the attendees, it was given free to them. Because ministers don't, as a rule, look after themselves enough and so are not enough immersed in this thing, in this wondrous thing that is awe, that brings awe, that is awe-inspiring. The lodge was absolutely beautiful, and for any of the senses, those people who like to snack, there were sweet things, there were salty things, there was ice cream in the freezer in little tubs, there were 5 or 6 different kinds of malt balls. Who knew? I mean, that's not one of my things that I would feel so blessed to have, but, you know, and water, you know, bottled water everywhere, and then all of the sweets, the breads, the bagels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Very beautiful surroundings. I think it was built by one of the banks that went bankrupt, and as their training center, and now it belongs to private enterprise who they mostly have trainings there and meetings. Our meeting was small compared to, there was an Alaska Airlines had a meeting that must have had 200 or 300 people there. Absolutely exquisite, first class, easy to forget struggle when everything around you is being taken care of. That the whole universe seems to support you. Yet, that's the principle we teach. That's the principle we teach. The entire universe supports us all the time, wherever we are, whether we're at Cedarbrook Lodge or in a hovel in San Clemente. Now, that doesn't even seem possible, but a hut. Anyway, it doesn't matter where we are. This thing is moving through us. And it moves through us according to our beliefs. What we believe then becomes our experience. What we accept as possible becomes true for us. I'm so happy to see some of our people back here after having some pretty major health issues. And the miracle of life. The miracle, the awe-inspiring awareness that my heart's beating, that I can move. So much every day, greatness and good. This morning, I thought we'd be walking in, because that's what we thought. We thought that they'd still be striping the parking lot at 10:30. So we had a plan, and then we didn't have to go with the plan. But in my mind, it was still the plan that we would be having to do more work to get here, to struggle a little bit, walk a little further than, you know, I usually park right out here, come in the door. That means I've walked about 20 feet. And I was going to walk 100 feet plus down the way, so there would be more effort required. And one of the spiritual practices that we did, so the meetings themselves were led by 3 of our greatest wisdom keepers in Centers for Spiritual Living. Kathy Ann Lewis from the Seattle Center, David Bruner from the San Jose Center, Edward Villian from the Santa Rosa Center, and Lisa Garcia from the Reno Center. And they did a lot of teaching, but then they just held the space for each one of us to grow, for each one of us, just like the blades of grass in that video. And there's a Jewish saying from the Talmud that every blade of grass has an angel over it telling it, grow, grow. And that's what we are, too. We are. We have that thing that we think is outside of us, but it is within us, that only wants us to grow spiritually, to have awareness, to turn the baseness of our lives into the gold of our lives, to turn it into something better than whatever we're experiencing, to evolve as spiritual beings, and to be able to see that beautiful presence everywhere, in everyone. As I said at the end of the service, just the way they are and just the way they are not. The one that bugs you to see that greatness in them, and the one that you adore to see that greatness in that one also. That's what we're called to do. And then to take that greatness that we are out into the world, to let our light shine so that we're recognized as, oh, they're the ones that are positive about everything. They're the ones that are living a good life. They're the ones that are living a good life. So the ritual that we did, I'm going to explain it to you, and then we're going to do it. So the first thing, you've got inside your bulletin, there was a lavender sheet of paper. If you didn't get this, raise your hands and we'll get the ushers to bring you some more. So anyone not get it, over the people that were here first in the meditation and rehearsing, etc., keep your hands up until... And then make sure you have a pen or something to write with, and they're in the backs of the chairs, so you shouldn't have to look too far for that. Okay, we still need a couple more. Three more, four more, five. I know, because what it said, because of our habits. Because of our habits is why we don't see the divine. Because we come in, we know what the program is going to be, we don't pick it up. Waste not, like that. But sometimes we miss part of the program. Okay, on that lavender piece of paper, I want you to just take a deep breath, let God in, so you really allow that presence. If you were to live in enlightenment, all in transformation all the time, what did you bring in here with you would you leave behind? What things would you leave behind? And most of them will be beliefs, but it could be I'd leave behind 30 pounds. Or it could be I'd leave behind a sense of lack or a struggle or an issue with memory or fear about health or just fear, plain fear. Whatever it is that you know you need to leave behind in order to live that transformed life, take a moment and just see what it is. Maybe it's a sense of littleness. The main instructor was Kathy Ann Lewis, and one of her requests for us was to think, what is your year's theme? Not the one that you're, because ours, of course, is the year of joyous living joyously. That's our theme as a congregation. But she said, no, I mean, what is your theme? How are you living your life? What's your theme? And most of us had themes we really didn't want to share, but I'm going to share what she told me mine was. She said, I think your theme is it's all hard. It's too hard. So I'm telling you, my new theme is it's easy. My new theme is that easy, and it only takes one, right? It only takes one, and it's easy for the 4T people, or for the Prosperity Plus people. It's easy. It's a shift in consciousness, that's all. It's easy, and it's joyful. So any sense of struggle, I left it behind last week. Any sense of, man, there's so much to do. Will I ever get it done? Of course I will. I'll get done what's important. So for the meditation, some of you were in the meditation, and I just want to explain, one of, Kathy Ann was also saying that it's been discovered that there are ways that we can trick our minds, like the video said, how we trick our minds to focus on awe. And one of them is by chanting. And if you were to take that chant, that Om Namah Shivaya chant that we were chanting, and do it for an hour rather than 15 minutes, you would enter that God place. Maybe if you did it for a day. Depends on how much you have to, how much unwillingness you have to be transformed. But the other thing is to consciously, mindfully make decisions about your own life. We are all alchemists. We are alchemists. And the philosopher's stone that the alchemist carried is our awareness of principle. It's our awareness that what we think about comes about. It doesn't have to look like the philosopher's stone to be the philosopher's stone. It can look like the Science of Mind textbook, or it can look like a song that moves you so greatly that you're transformed. Philosopher's stone goes from this that I'm struggling with to this that I'm welcoming, that I'm easy with. Okay. So, and now what you do, what you're going to do, and Kathy, if you come forward, first of all, bring your sheet. Kathy's my model. You're going to bunch up this sheet like this, and you're going to throw it in one of the baskets here. And then, if you wish, you're going to find one of the practitioners, and they're going to be the first ones, so you could line up if you've got an oil bottle. So behind Kathy, so I know who you are. And you're going to find one of those practitioners. They're going to be standing at the, they're going to be standing at the wall after they've been blessed. And you're going to be willing to be blessed. Tony, you have to come over here first. Okay. So you're not going to hear this. So actually what I'd love is you to put on the Om Namah Shivaya just so it's in the background. I'm anointing her. And I don't want you to hear this, so please mute me. I anoint you as a great teacher, a great leader. Thank you. to any of the practitioners, you don't need to come to me. Thank you, practitioners. You may be seated. It is done unto you as you believe. As you believe. So here's what I'm knowing for each one of us. Alchemy isn't something crazy people do. Alchemy isn't something, I think it was one of them, was it Isaac Newton? One of the, you probably know this, Wade, because you know everything. There's one of the scientists that actually discovered something really, that his whole first years was looking for that alchemic formula that would change base metals in, oh, you're going to look it up? Good, into gold. But honestly, it's just a fabulous metaphor for us. We have the chemicals of alchemy within us. It's called the creative process. We're cooperating with it every moment of every day, that our minds are centered on the spirit, when they're centered on good or happiness or joy or any of the qualities of God. We are then changing that base metal into gold. You are gold. You are gold. And I am so blessed to be in your company. From one alchemist to the other, I say namaste. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for participating and playing.